Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and stand up one more time. Exercise our faith. Let's stand together and believe. Amen. Let's believe for the unction. Let's go ahead and believe that God, you know, we have to release faith. Faith in the Word of God. Faith in what He said. Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank You tonight for this time that we have together to get into the Word of God. We invite the Holy Spirit of God that He might ascend upon those that are here, that He would be able to teach, empower us to teach Your Word. We ask, Father, for an unction to teach the Word, to minister in the Spirit. We thank You, Lord God, for what You're doing. And everyone that here, may it be a listening ear, every eye to be open, their spiritual eyes, have the insight, and that they have wisdom, and that they be able to do what You said to do. We thank You, Father, for all that You said You would do. We thank You that we can cooperate with You by the Spirit of God, and then we'll see amazing results. We thank You that are watching online, those are watching by wherever they are, with their iPhones or whatever apparatus or phone they have. We pray in the name of Jesus that there'd be a special anointing upon those people, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Your Holy Child Jesus. And so thank You for sending Holy Spirit to be our teacher and our guide, to empower us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen. Turn in your Bibles with me, please, to Matthew 9:35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And John chapter 12. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. We're going to look at Jesus and His ministry and how that relates to us today, how the Lord has, allowed us, empowered us, qualified us. Our series is called Doing the Works of Jesus, or Doing the Works of Jesus as a series, but our ministry tonight in the Word, you know, we call Wednesday night ministry in the Word. Ever say ministry in the Word? Because Wednesday night we want to teach the Word of God. We believe that Holy Spirit will operate here and give insight. And so we want to look at, you know, how Jesus, what He did in His ministry, and particularly with the Word of God, how He handled the Word of God. And so, without the teaching ministry, there'd be no faith. And so let's go and read from Matthew 9:35. I want to, I should have added verse 36 in that as well, because it's a very important point in there. Matthew 9:35, we'll add 36 in there. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And we'll add verse 36, and when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Thank You, Jesus, for the Word of God. And verse 37, let's go ahead and read again. Verse 37 and 38, we're going to add a few more scriptures. In verse 36, or verse 37, He said unto His disciples, "The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore," and this is what you need to all pray for, if you want to learn, if you want to know what to pray, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." I want you to notice that Jesus is asking you to pray something particular, because you see, Jesus has no authority unless we give him that authority on earth. He's given all authority to us, you know, we're the only body of Christ on earth. Jesus said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Matthew 18, verse 18. And verse 19 also says, you know, along the same line about your authority. And so I added those scriptures for some later comment. A supporting scripture in Matthew 9:35 for the works of Jesus and the teaching ministry of Jesus. A supporting scripture found in John chapter 14, verse 12. I'll pick up on some other scriptures as well. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do. I want you to notice the word works that I do. Then he goes on to say, shall he do also? He's saying the works that he's doing or he had done that we have a record of and a catalog of what he's done. These are the same works that you and I are to do. And then he says, and then he shall he do, and because I go unto my Father. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. When Jesus left, he sent the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, we see a history of that happening. And for the first time in the church, we see a change in the people who believed in God. They were no longer, not just the prophets had the Holy Spirit, not just the prophets only could know things by the Spirit. A change in the church that everyone would also have the Holy Spirit in them and upon them for ministry, and that they would know things, facts in the mind of God, as if they were prophets themselves, per se. Now, not everyone has a prophetic or prophet's ministry, and all the ministry gifts, essentially, the first thing that they should all do, and that is to teach the word. Someone gave me a message the other day on their Facebook Messenger, and they were talking about vision for 2018, and asked me a question about what I think about vision and so forth and so on, and prophecy. And I said, well, I believe in prophecy, but I don't believe that prophecy should be leading people and giving direction to people. And that's what some people want to do. They want to prophesy, give you direction, what you should do, and so on. If anybody tells you something and it's news to you, well, just go ahead and let it go, because it's not God talking to you. I said, prophecy basically is to confirm what's already in your heart. Prophecy is not given to you to be led in a certain way, because everyone here has the Holy Spirit in them, and that you should know on the inside, and that witness gives you an understanding that, hey, God's talking to me here. If somebody comes by and tells you something, then if he's already talking to you, then that would be confirmation that he did talk to you. So many people get tied up and they don't understand, and so they get all messed up because they're led into ministry, or they're led to marry somebody, they're led to sell their business, they're led to move out of town, they're led to do all kinds of stuff, and they get messed up because we're not to be led by other people. You're not the Holy Ghost, and I'm not the Holy Ghost, and there's only one Holy Ghost, and he was sent on the day of Pentecost to everyone. At least to empower them for the work of the ministry. Now, we shall talk about that a little bit more in detail on another time, or in part of this, what we're doing. The whole message today that we want to talk about, the idea of what we're trying to say here today, the works of Jesus is threefold. Or the three ways that Jesus, the works of Jesus are determined. And that is, first of all, it's teaching. Primarily, the ministry of the word or teaching of the word. And so we put that first every Wednesday. We put that as number one. Our main function in every service is not the worship service. It's not the healing that goes on. It's not the, you know, the gifts of spirit that goes on in the church service. It's not, you know, all that stuff that goes on. The main purpose of every service, of every prayer service, of everything, is the word of the Lord. And so, you know, we have to understand, and there's different kinds of services, and should be the word. It should be all focused on the word, centered on the word of God. I heard there's one service that went on last week, and someone went to a church service, and there was no one pulled out the Bible. And I went to, there was a couple of years ago, there was another service. They were having a big service, and everybody flocking there looking for some kind of sign and wonder. And everybody's looking for something spectacular. I learned from a man of God who's ministered for over 70 years. He said many people are looking for missing God, and they're looking for the spectacular and missing the supernatural. And so we'll add some thought to that later on, because if you don't open your Bible, there's something wrong with your ministry and something wrong with your head. I don't mind telling you. And I need to say that more often, because people who, I was telling the other guys, we were having a discussion about some meetings a few years ago or months ago, whatever it was. And people were all concerned, and they said, well, guys, you know, we have meetings for 3 to 4 days. They don't open the Bible. And so some of the pastors at our meeting got concerned about it. So what's going on? They don't open the Bible. And prophesying all day long and speaking on the top of their hat and so on. So they mentioned some things, and so we won't get into that. But, we need to get the Word of God first place. I remember Brother Hagin when he was doing healing school, and he started leaving his office, walking across the parking lot over to the Rooker building. I believe it was the Rooker building just behind the main office, Kenneth Hagin Ministries. And the Lord asked him, where are you going? He says, I'm going over to healing school. I'm going to teach healing. So the Lord said, what are you doing? He said, I'm teaching healing. I'm going to teach healing. And the Lord asked him again, what are you doing? He said, I'm going over to healing school to teach healing. The Lord asked him 3 times. The Lord said to them, so what are you doing for singing for most of the time you're there? I told you to teach, not sing. And so we have to be honest. If God told us something, we have to figure out, you know, maybe we need to get the results, follow what the Word says. Amen? Before his ascension, Jesus said that we should do the works he did, and even greater works. What exactly are his works? And what did he mean? And what exactly did he do? So we can learn valuable lessons, and we can obtain vast knowledge, and even develop new skills or skills for doing the works of Jesus when we start to examine the four Gospels and understand what he did and how he did them. Anybody understands what mentorship, if you can learn from somebody, you want to follow what he did. What did he eat? You know, you don't just look at those things. But so we have to, the Lord left us a great measure of information in the four Gospels on how he did the Father's work. What did he do? He said what he did, we can also do. And we can expect the same results he did, if we follow what he said to do. So, he wouldn't tell us something to do that we couldn't perform. I like what Brother Hagin used to say. He said, if God said I can do it, I believe I can do it. If he said believe, I believe I can believe. If he said pray, I believe I can pray. If he said to bind, I believe I can bind. Amen? If he said loose, you can loose. Are you guys doing okay? You're looking like you're happy? Okay. So, okay. What exactly are the works of Jesus? So, anyway, the ministry of Jesus consisted of three things we mentioned. Number one is teaching. Number two is preaching. Number three is healing. In that fashion, some people, they want to get healed. They don't want you to teach them anything. They don't want any kind of instructions. They don't want you to read anything. They just go ahead and pray for me. Oftentimes, people that, you know, you can pray for them and get a measure of results if you're anointed. Particularly if you have a measure of some kind of anointing on you, you pray for them and sometimes even the pain will leave immediately or they get better almost right away, depending on the size of the anointing on that occasion or on your ministry. You can get results instantaneously. And after the people leave your presence and leave the services and get out on their own, the devil comes by, starts attacking them again and tell them they didn't have that. And they start losing it because they get back into doubt. What you get spiritually, you could lose spiritually. That's why the Bible says, hang on, hold on to which thou hast. You know, and so you got to fight the good fight of faith. So, you ever notice that if you got some good contentment, you can lose it? You ever lose your peace and those things? So you can lose something. So those working in the helps ministry, assisting the pastor in a local church, are doing the works of Jesus. They're spiritually developing and training people for various things the ministry would need. Another thing, those who travel and go out to evangelize into the world and missions and so forth, they're doing the works of Jesus. Those that are traveling as teachers and teaching ministries, training leaders in churches and raising up more helps ministers and doing seminars, these people are doing the works of Jesus. Very often when we think about the works of Jesus, we always talk about the spectacular, miraculous healings. You ever think about it? Those that stand in office to preach, that's the works of Jesus. Jesus put the teaching ministry first. He put the word first. Why the word first? Because that's the only way you can get faith. That's the only way you get revelation. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that enthusiasm and excitement. Eh? Okay, so he preached and then he healed. He taught and then he healed. So that's the way he did it. The works of Jesus is the works of God. Whatever Jesus did is the work of God. Notice over here, let's go to, we're going to read several scriptures, John chapter 5, verse 14 to 12. We looked at this before, and I want to get one point out of this verse of scripture so your mind might go through a lot of other things, but I want to get one idea here because it's important for us to see this here. We've been talking about this woman or this man here. Let's start reading. Afterwards, Jesus finding him in the temple. This is the man who was healed at the pool of Bethesda. Y'all remember that on Sunday? We read some of that and the week before. He says, after Jesus finding him in the temple. Well, it's a good place to be found, isn't it? Found alive in the temple. Healed in his right mind. With money in his pocket. Okay. He said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. And we see a connection here between someone's sinful indulgence and the sin coming on their lives. You see that all the way through in the book of Psalms. Every time Israel got into trouble, they died or got sick, it always had to do with them veering off, worshiping idols, getting off and getting into all kinds of stuff. And then sinning. We see this when in the ministry, when the people was against the leadership, some of them got killed, and some of them, had to repent before they got well again, because they came against Moses, came against Marian, they came against the ministry, and even Paul, was knocked off his horse, and God says, what are you doing? Paul was attacking the church, and he got, you know, something happened to him. And so we see here, the Bible says, behold, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus that made him whole. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. They put it really in our day, they wanted to kill him because he's doing the works of Jesus, the works of God. See, ministry, religious people will go to a great extent to shut you down so that the devil's on their side, see? He wants to stop the ministry. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh. Everybody say, my Father worketh. My Father worketh. He said, hitherto and I work. Therefore the Jews sought more to kill him because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making him also equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he himself doeth. He will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Now, Jesus is talking very pretty clear to them, because he said, you know, in John chapter 5, he says that this is the work of God. The work of God, there was the fact that he was bringing healing to people who were otherwise would never have been healed. And it took the power of God, the anointing of God, to do that. Now, understand this, John chapter 5, we talked about this a number of times. You know, you can hear this 20 times, all of a sudden it's going to stick in your head. All of a sudden, it's going to make more sense to you than it ever did before. He says, I knew that, but somehow I know something extra. That's how to work. That's how to, you know, you're hearing what I'm saying here at the level of your maturity. So, you know, you could tell a kid something, they're 5 years old or 15 years old, you talk to them about the same thing, they'll hear you in another fashion than somebody 45 years old and had some experiences. I read the Bible today and I do ministry today that I've never had, the maturity I never had before. I told my wife today, you know, I know some things that I never did know before. I read scripture in a different way. There seems to be given more capacity to understand God and his word. And so this chapter 5, this man who was there for 38 years, Jesus comes by, as we said, with an anointing. He was anointed by the Spirit of God. Notice that Jesus didn't teach him. Jesus never taught the man at the pool of Bethesda. He never sat with him. Jesus never sat with the man and said, I'm going to show you how to receive a miracle. Or I'm going to teach you how to be healed. I want to teach you that nothing is impossible. He never said all that. He never sat with the man. He never touched the man. He never did any kind of real command, you know, like whatever. He just said to the man, just stand up, get up, and you know, whatever, right? There was no touching. There was no transfer of power. There was no, in that sense. So Jesus, if you read the scripture, understand there, Jesus healed a man with a combination of the gifts of the Spirit there. And that gives us a thought. If you and I are going to do the works of Jesus, we need to be sensitive to the Spirit. We need to know how these power gifts operate. We need to know how the revelation gifts, how to be sensitive about the revelation gifts and how to hear from God so that we can do this. So he had to operate. He had to understand. He had to have the revelation gifts there. He was walking. And he picked out one man. And this is how the gifts of the Spirit like this operate. Only one like that will get healed. Most of the time, you'll see that in Jesus' ministry. Now, if somebody else had faith and they say, hey, I'm believing, I'm taking it, they can take the same thing if that thing was happening at the same time because the river is flowing. We learn principles about it. So, this Jesus had to have the revelation gifts. He had to have what we call the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, or chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. You're going to need to hear this, Mr. Rich. Hey. So now I want you to understand it. Look at this. There's gifts of the Spirit. Verses 7 to 11, 1 Corinthians 12. It's mentioned there that the gifts of the Spirit are divided to every man severally as he will. And he mentions, as we call them, seven gifts of the Spirit. They're not all, if you study them individually, you'll understand they're not all gifts of the Spirit. They're also operations, they're administrations, and they're gifts. And you have to understand, if you study very closely, the gifts of the Spirit. If you're gonna work the works of Jesus, we have to understand these things. I learned this from a man who'd been in ministry for 7 years. I listened to him very carefully about gifts, operations, and administrations of the Spirit, because he mentions that in there. And so he comes by. And he has the revelation gifts going. He knew the man had been this case in a long time. And he had what we call a discerning of spirit. He knew the man's heart, the condition of his heart and how he felt and how desperate he was and so forth. He read the man's spirit. He had been there for a long time in desperation for 38 years. And the man's heart was open, expecting God to do something, but he couldn't get himself into the pool. He was helpless. And then he had what they call a word of wisdom. Before that, he had a word of knowledge, knowing the man and his condition. He knew about the man, that he'd been there for a long time. He understood those facts about, at this very moment, this man, where he was. When you have a word of knowledge, you know exactly what's happening in this person's life from that moment on, you know, from his past as well. And then he had a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, excuse me. A word of wisdom is when you know what's going to happen next. A word of knowledge knows about the next few moments or the next year or the next, what's going to happen next. The word of wisdom, excuse me, is information that you would supernaturally know that's going to take place or about to take place at any moment in the future moments, or it could be an hour, it could be whatever, in the next hour or a few minutes. So he had a word of wisdom, and that he knew exactly what's going to happen. On top of that, he had what they call the gift of faith, the working of miracles, because you work a miracle. You can't just get a guy healed with the gift of healing with someone with 38, he's been sick for 38 years. It takes more than the gift of healing to heal a man who's been in that case for that long. You need working of miracles. It takes more than one gift. It takes faith on the part of that man to believe that he could actually receive that. Amen. If you had the gift of faith operating right now, God will give you a gift of faith, and you said, "Man, you can believe anything," and you didn't have, no one taught you anything. That happened to me. That's how I went into the ministry. I was sitting there. All of a sudden, I know I'm called to the ministry. Well, how did that happen? Who taught you that? Well, Holy Spirit put it in me. I knew I could do it. Amen? In a measure, in certain cases, the Lord would tell me that, you know, certain things, just small instructions, just tell that person, stand them up right now, I'll fill them with the Holy Spirit. I said, stand up, the Lord wants to fill you. And they're filled, sometimes 2-3 people at a time, 4 people. And you just go ahead and do it. You know it's going to happen. I had one lady, she'd been over about 20, 25 years. She was an epileptic, had 3 major seizures a week. I came by. And the person is healed. He never had a seizure ever since I left him after that. How did that happen? Well, it's a gift of faith. The Lord told me, go home, tell your mom she's healed. I didn't know that was a gift of faith in operation. How did I know that? I didn't want to do it. Because, the gifts of the Spirit still have to operate by faith. You still have to step out if you're going to be prophesied. You got to have some amount of boldness to step out and start prophesying. So you can't, you don't automatic all of a sudden, I find myself prophesying. No, God uses you. You have to be able to yield to it. You got to know if God's using you. You got to say, yeah, God's on me. That happened to me very early in my Christian life. hearing God so clearly. Very pure heart. The more pure your heart is, the more soft conscious you have, the clearer you hear God. If you're a guy, if you're rebellious, you won't hear God. If you don't tithe, you don't give offerings, you don't do helping in the church, you don't pray, you don't go visit people, you don't do all those things God told you. If he wouldn't talk to you. If he did, you wouldn't hear him. Because your heart is so seared that you can't hear God. So if we're going to do the works of God, we need to get our conscience cleared. We got to get sensitive to God. We got to learn how to pray all the time. You know, people say, when do you pray? I pray all the time. And just listen to God all the time. Now, you could live a natural life. A lot of you can just have success without God. Because you have talent. You got ability. You can make money. You can go and get a degree. You can get a fairly good marriage. You can do a lot of things without God. But you won't have the measure that you need, that you could have with God. Because God says, a lot of people are going to have success, but one day this is all going to burn up. It's interesting, isn't it, to think about when you see the scripture, you understand this, you could do a lot of things in the world thinking that you're doing great, but God's going to say, I never tell you to do that. Yeah, you build a good business, you build a good home. Well, I didn't ask you to do that. And the thing about it, when we do things out of pride, we go and do stuff because somebody else is doing it or whatever. Because we have to have a heart for God. I mean, I can get into every area here, but he says the Son can't do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. In other words, when Jesus was doing the works of the Father, he wasn't doing it on his own. He didn't say, let's go over here. Hey, guys, come on, let's go over here. No, he had to be led by God. God had to lead him. I remember listening to a story once, and Brother Hagin, he said before 1987 camp meeting, he said, all of a sudden I'm praying, and suddenly I'm sitting on top of the Tulsa Convention Center and looking down of all the people there worshiping and having a service. Then Jesus said to me, see all those guys in the front row? Those are all my ministers, my pastors, ministers. And they're asking me to bless their ministry. And he said, I want to. I want to bless them. I'll do what I can do as far as I can, only to a measure, but only to the degree that my will is involved. I want to bless them, but I can't. Because they go ahead and make plans and they do all this stuff and they ask me to bless what they planned. But I can't do it because it's not my will. And so I begin to think about that, and I always say things like, I don't want to go places where God didn't want me to go. I want to be exactly where he wants me to be because I want to be in peace. I don't want to be running out of money when I don't know how to get out of that because I can't run to God because I don't know if God's in it or not. I don't want to be in ministry. Brother Higgins said, when he was called to the ministry, he said, I never tell people you're called to the ministry. You should go into ministry. You should never tell people that. You could confirm some things, but don't call people to ministry because they have to know it themselves. He said, I never called my son to the ministry. He had to find it for themselves because you know what? It's tough. Look around. Not everybody's fighting for my job. I tried to give it to Pastor Ken, but he don't want it. He knows how tough it is. It's not easy. It's not easy. Because there's things that you want to do, we got to follow God. But God says to do certain things. You suffer for following God sometimes. And you get into trouble even if you follow God sometime. Joseph, he got into a lot of trouble. Was accused, thrown in prison. But he still was following God. If it wasn't the case, you would see, examine Paul's life, how he followed God as much as he can, and he's being led by gifts of the Spirit and so on. God told him. You ever notice this about Paul? An angel was given to him, or he had a vision. He had so many visions and had so many things because he was called for worldwide things, right? God's not going to show you a vision if he wants you to buy pizza or whatever. You have to have something that is impacting a whole world, worldwide things. Paul was worldwide. And God gave him visions and had visitations and so on. And I remember hearing this in ministry. He said, don't ever pray for vision. Don't ever pray for an angel to show you something. Just enjoy what you have. If God doesn't check you, he doesn't tell you anything, just go ahead and do what you're doing. If you enjoy life, just go and enjoy it. Praise God. Don't worry about it. If you're following God, thank God, man. Don't worry about anything like that. Don't seek for nothing. But understand this. When God gives you a vision, and I know from my own mentors, close mentors, and then other mentors that I have, every time they had a vision, they went to heaven. My own pastor, Pastor Rick, he went to heaven. God showed him some things. When, before he was going to quit being a pastor, before WCF became larger, he had a vision. Jesus showed him a vision. He said, I want you to be a pastor. I want you to raise church across the country. You wonder why he's a mega church. And God showed him. Brother Hagin said, every time I had a vision or a supernatural visitation from God, it's always tough sailing ahead. And I told you, I can't remember what night it was, I had visions, I had a visitation from God to be in the ministry. If I didn't have those visions, I would have quit, ran as fast as I could, and did what I was doing before. It's not that easy. But the Lord, when he calls you to do something, I'd be absolutely stupid to do something. I'm not that needy that I have to have people like me so much. In fact, if you do something, you're not that popular anyway when you do stuff. But, so Jesus said, I'm not doing this by myself. The works of the ministry, Jesus said, when I'm doing this, the Father's showing me what to do. So we need to be led by the Spirit, just like Jesus did. And you notice that he didn't do one miracle until after he had an encounter with God. See, Jesus had to become a man. He was born of a woman, but he'd never operated as God or God's son. And yet he was God's son, but he didn't operate as God's son. He operated a man anointed by God. Otherwise, who could compete with, how would we follow God, Jesus, if he was just acting like God all the time? How could he be a good example to you and me if he was like, I'm God, go ahead and hit me with a stone, I'm not going to get hurt. I'm just using that as an example, he had to be a man. The Bible says, Philippians 2, remember? He laid down all his godliness, so to speak, his divinity. He became a man. Why would God have to anoint Jesus if he was operating as the Son of God? You know that when we said, when Jesus was anointed, John 3:34, we use that scripture. John 3:34, that said, if you read another version, you say, Jesus had the anointing of God without limit when he was operating in power, without limit. Well, how could he do that? Some of us, when we get the power of God on us a little bit, we just can't even stand it. In fact, I used to get that on me here in my hands. I almost can't stand it because it almost hurts. Like it just, it just bugs you when you get the anointing on your hands like that. And I ministered with that. No, I haven't ministered that way for a long time, but I need to start saying it. Maybe I'll minister more on that. The more I talk about it, does. But anyway, so Jesus is called the second Adam. Jesus was just like Adam when Adam was in the garden. He was full of God. He wasn't like, you know, he didn't have like how we are. You know, think about it for a second. That'll make you think a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why he could be anointed. He had the full anointing because he was like the Adam. Adam had, he was like full of glory before he sinned. That's how he was. He didn't have a body like us. So how are we to do works of Jesus? If we are to do the works of Jesus, we are to study how he did it, how he operated anointing, how he followed, and what he did. So we could follow, we could do what he did, and we, the church, need to do that. First, he didn't do everything on his own accord, as we mentioned, as the scripture mentions here. He did it as he was led by the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit showed him. Jesus did miracles only after he was anointed at the river, Jordan, being baptized. The Bible says here in Luke 3 and 21-23, now when all the people were baptized, Jesus came up. It came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and the voice came out of heaven. He said, This is my son, or my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, as being was supposed, the son of Joseph and the son of Heli. Must be a thin lady. I don't know. Okay. It came to pass he was empowered by the Spirit at that time. After that, he had miracles. Before that, there was no miracles. Luke 4:1 says, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he was led there to defeat, overcome Satan, and show us how we can overcome Satan. Later, he said to his hometown that he was anointed. He began to have a press conference, so to speak, at his own church. And he said, hey, guys, I want you to know Isaiah 61 is talking about me. I'm the one that's, I have the anointing. I'm anointed. He had to say he was anointed. So he believed he was anointed. He had to say it like you and I would say it. He had to make the confession like anybody else would have to make a confession. He said, hey, guys, I am anointed. I am called of God. God has anointed me. How do you think people knew to touch him? He would have to say, I'm so anointed that my whole body and clothes are saturated with it. That's why the people touched him. You read that. Many people touched him, the scripture says. They touched him, not just one woman with the issue of blood, but many people. Luke 14 says many people touch him, as many touch him. You'll see that throughout the scripture that they were touched him, they were healed. If they had any demons, they drove out the demons out of them. Sometimes when I'm anointed really strongly, if you have a demon, I'll know it and you'll know it. I'm serious. I remember being so anointed in church people, these church people, Pentecostal people, spoke in tongues. I got around them. All of a sudden, they're talking about other voices in them that they never. I said, I didn't know these guys would have a demon on them. Now, they weren't demon-possessed. They were demon-oppressed. Well, don't get scared and say, well, maybe I got a demon on me. Huh? If you had one, don't worry about it. All of a sudden, these Christians, I'm telling you, God, you think Christians can be oppressed? You're sure you can be oppressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're all growing.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it if you don't have anything right now. Because, some sicknesses, some illnesses, the devil, if you go into his territory, yeah, he can attack your body if you get out of the will of God. You're in his territory. He has authority there. You just go and keep going to the casino. Yeah, pretty soon you'll find yourself entangled. You can't get out on your own. Go ahead and start drinking a little bit. You'll find out that you can't stop on your own. Get involved in whatever thing. Go ahead and start sleeping one time with somebody, then you'll find yourself you can't stop sleeping with someone. And people in church need to stop learning how to stop sinning. Just because you spoke in tongues don't mean you're still right with God. And yet you're still speaking in tongues. We're going to do a series on holiness. I'm studying it right now. I'm going to clean out the church. There's too many people sleeping around, having fornication, and thinking they're okay with God. You're not. You're not okay with God. Glory to God. We're going to go on to the next topic right now. Amen. God's given me authority to teach. The Lord called me. The Lord called me. He wouldn't call me for no reason. He called me for a reason. And so I thank God. You know, to have discipline in your life is the best thing in your life. For me to sit here and stand here and talk to you like this is the best thing for you. I have to learn myself. Amen. And I was telling the Lord, you know, if you're the kind of person like, you know, oh, I'm so wonderful, I'm so great, look how I am, you know, look at all those people over there. I'm glad I'm not like them. You know, we're badly mistaken. Or look at our church, we're the best church in town. Well, thank God you have a good church, but listen, you know what? We don't put anybody down. We need to mention if somebody, the Bible says you have to mark somebody. If they're wrong, don't hang around with them. Because a little yeast goes through the whole batch. All right? So listen. Jesus said, he was quoting from Isaiah 60. He said, the Spirit of the Lord, he returned. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Luke 4, 16 to 21. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up for it to read. And it was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach. Had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind. Set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. The eyes of them that all were in the synagogue were fastened on him, began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. So that was his press conference, announcing that I'm anointed. And I remember listening to Brother Higgin. He said, you know, when he appeared to him in one of his visions, he said, you know, everywhere I went, this is what the message I preached, Isaiah 61. Everywhere I went to. And he said, you know what? That's what Jesus told him in the vision. But he said, you can't, people said, well, you can't prove that. Well, you can't disprove it either. But he said it. I believe the prophet. But how would people read his gospels? If you read closely, you understand, why would people touch his garments? Why would he touch them? They just want to touch Jesus, and they were healed, the Bible says. So Jesus had to first... Jesus had to teach first and proclaim the things of God. One thing we know that he mentioned in 4:18 and 19 that he said he was anointed. He preached and taught about the word. So faith doesn't come for anything unless it's taught. You realize that what you know today, what you believe today, is a result of what you have been taught in church. Notice this in Luke 5, 1 to 3. It came to pass, as people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. They wanted to hear the word of God. He stood at the lake of Gennesaret, and the two ships standing by the lake, the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets, and he entered in one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out into a little further to the out of land, and he sat down and taught the people. He taught the people. Notice in Luke 5:15, the people came to hear him, the Bible says, and to be healed of their affliction. They came to hear first and to be healed. The Bible says, Luke 5:12, came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, there was a man full of leprosy who seeing Jesus fell on his face, besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Immediately, leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show himself to the priest and offer a cleansing according to Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much more, verse that latter section. There was a fame of him abroad. Great multitudes came together. Great multitudes came to hear him and to be healed of their infirmity. That's how faith comes. That's how healing is going to come. If you're going to get healed, you're going to have to know what the word says. And if you're going to get healed another way, it's going to have to be the gifts of the Spirit, and that's few and far between. So as we said, statistically, 4 Gospels, 19 cases of healing, 12 out of 19, faith is mentioned. In other words, faith was mentioned directly that they were healed. 1/3 of the rest of them, faith is inferred somehow in there. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So those that are just waiting for the moving of the water, I'm waiting for some man, I'm waiting for Benny Hinn service, I'm waiting for, if I could get the Kenneth Copeland's convention. No, God's word is just as good here as it was anywhere else. And the presence of God is here right now. The God's Spirit is right here everywhere. There's nowhere you can go where God's Spirit is not. God's Spirit is everywhere, everywhere. But his Spirit is not always in manifestation. And the only way you can turn on the manifestation is you believe God. Amen. If you turn the faith, you know, to switch your faith on. Said, you know, I was reading this morning Kenneth Copeland's Faith to Faith. 4 words will change your life. He says, I believe, I receive. I believe, I receive. He said, it works every time. It always will work. I believe, I receive. He said, I don't know how my digestive system works. I just know it works. I put something in my mouth, and something happens in my mouth right away. And then all of a sudden it goes down here, and I don't try to make it work. It just works. All we have to do is say, I believe the word. I believe the word. I believe the word. I believe I'm healed right now. That's why this man here, his name is Dave, Pastor Dave, Brother Dave. That's why he gets all excited. He dances. Because he's excited. He made me excited. All of a sudden, I'm just getting excited too. And he starts dancing. And if you're so indignant, look at that guy up there. He's making a fool of himself. Look at him. Hey, man. You know, I wouldn't do that. Well, you're not happy either. Hey, man. I mean, the guy's happy. So he's a little crazy, so he's happy. I mean, it's wonderful, right? So hear and be healed. So let me just finish off a couple of minutes here. There is misuse of the gifts of the Spirit in the body of Christ. So there's 9 gifts. So Jesus, he operated real well with the gifts. Got the guys healed, and they're healed. The guys never walked. Some people had so much trouble, and they had Jesus come by, and he did that. And we see that today in different ministries. Even right now, I know friends of mine who operate that way. But they don't just do it anytime they want. It's when the anointing is there, right? So, and people say, if that's real, why don't you just go in the hospital and just clear out? No, that's not how the gifts work.
That's right.
The working of miracles just don't work because I switch it on. I think I'll just go to the hospital and just switch it on and turn on the miracle gift. No one has that kind of gift. It's only as the Spirit wills.
Amen.
Everything has to be by faith.
Yeah.
And even if the man has a gift of miracle healing ministry, you still have to have faith that he can do that. You have to believe that God's on him.
That's
and have some respect for the man of God.
Yes.
So there's in the ministry, if we're going to do the works of ministry, we have to understand the gifts of the Spirit. One of them is that we have to understand about, the vocal gifts. You can easily misuse the vocal gifts. Prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. You can misuse that. You can just start preach. You can prophesy anytime. You can all prophesy it all together, all at once. And just because you got an unction on you and you feel you could actually do it, doesn't mean you have to do it. Have to do it right then. There's a time and place. Brother Hagin used to say, I know a lot of things about things, people. I don't tell them because God didn't tell me to tell them. He said, if you tell them, they'll even get worse. Go in a different direction if you tell them. They're not ready to hear. So, and then some people will try to prophesy different things, prophesy you in the ministry, prophesy you marrying somebody, prophesy you in their church, prophesy you giving them money, prophesy whatever, and begin to misuse the gift. People have lost ministries. People have lost businesses because they believe a minister or a man of God or a prophet because they try to prophesy everything. We are not to be led by prophecies.
Amen.
Thank God for confirmation.
Yeah.
If you prophesy to me, I'll have to check it out. Let's see. Has God been talking to me about that? That don't make sense to me. Okay, thank you for your prophecy. But, hey, listen, thank you. You gotta be able to judge a prophecy.
Amen.
If it's confusing you, it's not God. If there's no peace in it, it's not God. And so we see different things happening in different places, and you wonder, I'm a little bit older in ministry now. I see other ministers doing it. They're handing out prophecies like it's candy. Now, we could all do this. We could all prophesy in simple encouragement. Every one of us could prophesy in simple, the simple gift of prophecy is to encourage you, comfort you with the scripture and just do that. We can all do that for each other, for ourselves, and for other people. But you cannot offer prophecy with words of knowledge and words of wisdom. You can't do that on your own.
Amen. Amen.
Any prophecy that has extra information of your life or your future life, you can't just make it up. You cannot manufacture revelation on your own. We need to learn how to do this, right?
Amen.
Brother Hagin used to always say, check this. Tell me if this is true or not. If it's not true, then just forget it. And he'd tell people. He used to go ahead and, is that true? Oh, yeah, it's true. You were in the basement of your house praying about this, and you said this. Is that true? Oh, yeah, that's me. Yeah, I said that. Okay. I'll tell you what. God wants you to do this. He said, if you do this, this is going to happen. It's up to you, though. You don't have to do it, but you have to make that choice. That'd be like word of wisdom. So you cannot manufacture the operations of the power gifts. You cannot pretend a miracle happened if there's no power in it. You can't.
Amen.
You cannot manufacture, produce a faith into the gift of faith. You can't produce it. God has to be in it.
Yes.
When the gift of faith is in operation, all of a sudden, you just know. You get excited. You cannot just sit there with a stone face and just say, I got the gift of faith operating. I just feel it's coming on. If you got that, man, you're excited. Woo! You'd be going, you can't stand it almost. So, but you know what? That's why, listen. If you want the gift to operate in my life as your minister, man of God, you're going to have to believe God.
Amen.
You're going to have to come to church Sunday morning, walk through those doors, and man, I'm trusting the anointing God. Pastor's going to be so anointed. I'm believing God. This is good for me, man. If I'm going to get something, if something's going to happen, I believe it's going to happen to me. Because that's why 1 Corinthians 14 says, that we must all desire the spiritual gifts. We must all desire it, and we must pray for that to happen.
Amen.
Romans, Acts chapter 4. Lord, send forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done. That's the power gifts. That's the power gifts. We're praying for the power gifts to manifest. We were here last night praying. And every Wednesday, I'll be teaching in the green room. If you want to be part of that group, we're teaching about these kind of praying in different areas. So we spend time praying in here. Tuesday night, excuse me. And then and the Lord, speaks to us, talks to us. If you want to be part of that group, after we have a teaching, we come in here and we pray. We lay down, we prophesy, we do whatever, So be part of that. So we, you can misuse a gift because you can talk anytime you want. You can speak anytime you want. You can misuse it because it's up to you. It's more or less in your hands. But you cannot do that see a guy walking with a wheelchair. You stand up right now. Stand up. The guy's just sitting there. And the gift is there. If the gift of faith is there, if the gift of faith comes on him, yeah, I can do it. It has to work like that. I have the gift of faith to tell you that. I have the miracle, and he has the gift to receive it and act it out. It's called working of miracles. See, you work a miracle, and you can receive a miracle. So why don't we believe? And let's trust the Spirit of God. Let's trust God that when people come to this church, we believe that all things are possible. We believe the Holy Ghost shows up here when we come here to get together, and that he'll always manifest himself. He'll always glorify God, not just a few people. People always want the pastor to pray. They think, oh, he knows God. No. You know God. Let's all believe together. Let's go ahead and close. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's the Bible says when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anybody. So if you're mad at somebody, if you're mad at me, you forgive me right now. Amen. The Bible said when you stand praying, this is how you make your faith work. You don't hold any kind of resentment. No kind of animosity about anybody. Any ill will, any thought against anybody. Let's make your faith work so good. Thank you. If you need direction, that direction will be right there. Thank you, Father. We praise you and thank you for your goodness. We're believing God, as you said, send forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. We pray, Father, that our hearts are sensitive, that we have a clear conscience, Lord God. And when you speak to us, we know it's you. We hear you. The Bible says, Jesus, you said, my sheep know my voice and they hear me. So we say, we hear you, Lord. We know your voice. And we'll follow not another voice that we don't know. There are many voices in the world, but none without signification. But your voice is the most significant voice that we hear. We put aside our emotions, our feelings, our thoughts. We focus on you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us. Forgive us. Forgive me and us if we have offended you when we have done things that are not right in your sight. Forgive us, O Lord. So we consecrate ourselves. We consecrate individually for our own lives so that those that you've called us to help, that we're able to help because our hands are clean and that we're ready to serve you. You said in 1 Timothy that when we cleanse ourselves from these ways, we'll be ready to do every work that you've called us to do. So thank you for that time. And as we go along and grow, I thank you that we're all in different stages of development and sensitivity. I pray that we will be able to move forward. And those that you've called to pray, those that you called to do whatever it is to serve, play music or give money, whatever it is you told people to do, visit the sick or witness, read more, whatever you said, they'll do, we'll do, we'll do more. We'll do more than we've ever imagined. Thank you for healing the sick. And thank you, as you said, through the man of God earlier, that just go ahead and claim your healing. Just go claim that 1 Peter 2:22 is mine, and I don't have to have anybody lay hands on me. I believe it's part of the covenant. I believe you died for my sins that I could be cleansed and have a new spirit. Same way you laid my sin on Jesus and healed me. I believe that healing is mine. It belongs to me. I have it now. I believe I receive my healing. I believe I receive healing from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I believe Jesus is my healer. I receive him as my Lord of healing in Jesus' name. I believe I receive deliverance from everything that would cause me to walk other than what you've called me to walk. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, Rabasha. Come, pray in the Holy Ghost for a couple of seconds, a couple of minutes. Oh, Rabaka Sanda. Emre ki sondo ko shindirima. Santa karabasoto korodishi. We pray in the will of God for our lives, for our families, for our children, for the ministries that you've given us. Oh, Brakise, Arabaka, help us to turn away from all that is sinful, all that is unlawful in your sight. We turn to you with a pure heart. Oh, Rabaka Santa Karabada Basite, Imre Niki Sata Koro Shite Elimi. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for every new Christian, every carnal Christian, every person who's not known how to use their faith, not known how to pray for themselves, doesn't know how to take their authority. I pray that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of your power for them as believers, according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead, and you set him at your own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And you raised us up together, and you made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank you that you fill us with might by your power in our inner man, that Christ might dwell in our hearts by faith, that we'll be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fruits of righteousness unto him that is able to bless us even immeasurably beyond that we're able to think. To you be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. Stretch forth your hand that in every church service, every prayer meeting, every gathering of this church, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. And the name of Jesus shall and will be glorified. And we give you the praise as we agree with this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. All right. Praise God. Bless you. Thank you so much for your attention.